Sri Lanka is in a state of emergency and the president has fled the country. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Gotabaya Rajapaksa is understood to now be in the Maldives. He'd been in hiding since protesters stormed his residence on Saturday. The country is in a dire economic situation with shortages in basic necessities like food, medicine and fuel. It has run out of foreign currency reserves, making it impossible to import goods. Archana Shukla is on the streets with the protesters in the capital, Colombo. I asked her if there was a functioning government.
So after President Gotabaya Rajapaksa fled the country overnight, he has sent in a letter to the speaker asking the current Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe to become the acting president.
And how have the protesters reacted to that?
They're not happy. Just when the announcement of the fact that Prime Minister could take over the position of the presidency came in, thousands marched towards the Prime Minister's office and have stormed the office. They've been met with water cannons. They've been met with tear gas shells. Most of the protesters believe that Ranil Wickremesinghe is an aide of the Rajapaksas, and he will possibly shield them.
So what happens next? Politically, what could happen next?
In the next 30 days, the president will have to form a caretaker all-party government with support of politicians from other parties as well. And the politicians and the parliamentarians will have to do a general election in the next 30 days or so. The opposition parties on their part are in a huddle right now. They are saying that we have the majority and the numbers for an all-party caretaker government led by the opposition.
Meanwhile, there are big shortages for ordinary Sri Lankans. What is their first priority?
The priority of the government has to be to ease some of the shortages, but that's not going to happen easily. Firstly, because of the political turmoil and the uncertainty on the political side and the instability is making a lot of international agencies that want to help Sri Lanka also stand by and watch, including the International Monetary Fund, that has said that they are concerned with the political turmoil in Sri Lanka and they would want it to be resolved soon so that they can carry forward the bailout package discussions that they have been happening. A few tankers and few shipments of fuel are coming in, and the government is slowly trying to gather dollars to pay for those shipments, because most countries who are sending in oil want advance payments. So that's again a question mark. To go through all of this, you need somebody stable at the helm of affairs politically to sign on the papers, to have these discussions. Until that happens, the situation on ground is not going to ease anytime soon.
Archana Shukla in Colombo, thank you.
Thank you.
To markets now, and some stocks made slight gains across Asia on Wednesday as investors wait for the US inflation report later today. Japan's Nikkei was up 0.5% after losing nearly 2% the previous day. To Ukraine now, where there are further efforts to ease what the UN warns could be a global food crisis. Since the Russian invasion, millions of tons of grain have been stuck in warehouses in the country. Well, today, the Russian and Ukrainian delegations meet in Turkey to try and find a solution. The BBC's Joe Inwood is in the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv.
The impact of this invasion has been felt around the world. Global food prices have soared as grain rots in warehouses. The key issue is opening the Black Sea, currently impossible. These talks will not be easy. But Ukraine's infrastructure minister, Oleksandr Kubarov, thinks a solution can be found. Success will require goodwill on both sides, something that has been severely lacking. But, he added, he is optimistic there will be a breakthrough.
Joe Inwood there. Nigeria has launched a drive to plant more coconuts in an effort to cut its reliance on imports. The country currently only grows 30% of what it needs. So why are farmers unable or unwilling to grow enough to meet the demand? The BBC's Ijoma Ndugwe has this report.
I'm on a large farm looking out at 150 hectares of land. This plantation, Rayfield Agricultural and Integrated Farms, was set up by Major General John Davies and his wife Ray 6 years ago. Ray tells me that they started planting coconuts when they realised there was a shortage of the fruit in Nigeria.
Most of the coconut products that are processed in Nigeria from neighbouring African countries.
Farmers like the Davies hope to take advantage of this gap in the value chain. Furthermore, global demand for coconut-based products has risen steadily since the early 2000s, and everything from the fruit's husk to the flesh can be processed into a wide range of products, from food and beverages to cosmetics, textiles, and even soil and energy. I went to the coastal town of Badagry. It's in Lagos, a southwestern state, which is the country's biggest producer of coconuts. I visited a plantation on the coast owned by the Lagos State Coconut Development Authority. The government agency is tasked with helping the coconut sector become more commercial.
This plantation is of old coconut trees.
The general manager, Dapo Olakuleyin, gives me a tour.
There is surge in the number of processors, and there's no corresponding increase in the number of the farmers. But we have been encouraging a lot of people to go into cultivation to meet the processing need.
Over the past 3 years, the Coconut Development Authority has distributed around 450,000 seedlings to farmers in the state to help boost production. But as coconut trees take some years to fruit, this means that coconut processors will continue to import the fruit from neighbouring countries. Manufacturers say the lack of domestic supply is making it hard to do business. I spoke to the owner of De Kribs Kokogri Coconut Company, Toyin Kapo Kolowole.
If there's shortages of coconut in my business, it makes it more expensive to buy.
Toyin is among a growing number of entrepreneurs who are attracted to the vast opportunities within the coconut sector. Experts in the industry say efforts made today will position Nigeria as an exporter of coconuts, but it's still too early to say whether the investment will eventually pay off. In Nigeria, I'm the BBC's Ijoma Ndukwe for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.